couldn't help but think of some of the words in this hymn. In the chapter we've had before us in the reading, I was thinking of verse 3, that image in man's lowly guise. So many around didn't know at all who was before them. And we had those words, if ye seek me, let these go their way. All that the Son sees the Father do, the Son does. Marvelous, isn't it? What a wondrous person, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we look to Him in prayer. I would like to turn to Genesis chapter 21. I've been thinking of hearing a voice, particularly a voice from heaven. You know, every one of us in this room, like it or not, we're going to have to do with God. We're going to one day face the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There's been a man in your world and mine who has fully glorified God and wrought marvelous work of salvation in His work on the cross. But I was thinking of that term, a voice from heaven. In Genesis 21, we get in verse 8 that Abraham's son Isaac was weaned. And verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, and I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. There's many times that things don't really grab our souls until we come to a crisis. This was a very difficult time in Abraham's life. Sarah said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And this thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of the son. So we have a father's heart really torn. It doesn't say in verse 12, God said to Abraham, here's the whole book of Galatians to explain what you're making a type of. No. This is written aforetime for our learning. But God comforts this man who's called the father of us all. Verse 12, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. Verse 13, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar. Put it on her shoulder and the child and sent her away and she departed. We marvel as we look at faith, don't we? Dear young people, has there been a crisis in your life? Where some portion of the Word of God comes to you so clearly, it's as the voice of God from heaven. You either have to make it your own in the face of crisis, or you might have to go to a deeper crisis. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He wants you to learn to be sensitive to the leadings and the assurances of the Spirit of God. We look at this woman, Hagar. Abraham had gone down into Egypt, or Abram, and he had picked up an Egyptian maid. You can say, well, it's not her fault. Here we have the origin, likely, of the Arabian. Millions of people today. By this time, well, I may go back, verse 14. You know, as Abraham got up, rose up early in the morning, what's he doing? He's responding to what God told him. Action because of words from God. By this time, if we look back at the Scriptures, chapter 2, Ishmael is about 15 years old. Verse 15, the water was spent in the bottle and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of Hagar. Verse 17. No, says he heard the voice of the lad. You ever been so thirsty your tongue was cleaving to your palate? You just wish you had a drop of water? It's a bit of a crisis. God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. Let's go back to chapter 16, verse 6. Hagar was with child in this chapter, expecting Ishmael. And she despised Sarah. She was proud. She was pregnant. And her boss wasn't. So, Sarah treats her hardly, verse 6, and she runs away. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Verse 8, he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? Whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress from Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. When we look at chapter 21, and God says, Hagar, what aileth thee? She's expecting the death of that boy. And she has forgotten the promise connected with him. When crisis comes into your life and mine, and it will come, dear fellow believer, it's a wonderful thing if we can look back to that which the Lord assured us of in the time past. It says in Romans 4 of Abraham, Abraham believed God. We saw how he got up early in the morning and he took the bottle and he sent Hagar and Ishmael away. He believed God. In the face of awful heartache to let go of that 15-year-old boy and its mother. Chapter 22. We've had this before us in these meetings. Verse 1 and 2, we see God speaking to Abraham. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. We see the energy carried out, obeying what God said. We're all familiar with the story. I love verse 5. All the Word of God is wonderful, isn't it? But to think that he tells his young men, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He knew if he's called upon to offer Isaac, God would have to raise him up from the dead. But the promises were bound to that son. Believe God. How often I have to look back in my own life and say there's failures that I could trace straight to unbelief. We have a wonderful God. Now look, in verse 11, Here's come the moment of severe crisis and testing. Testing his faith. Isaac is bound. He's laid on the altar on the wood. Verse 9. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And it doesn't say that he held it over his head. But this man is acting in the fear of God. What a time to hear, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Hagar had heard a voice out of heaven. Many times it doesn't mention out of heaven when God is speaking with Abraham. Such friendship. Wonderful. But here it does. And said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What a provision this substitute. What a figure Isaac and his father going forth. How our hearts have enjoyed this wondrous figure of Christ in his death and resurrection. Verse 15, and again and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. He said, by myself I've sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Wonderful when we learn to heed a voice out of heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses reiterating something of the giving of the law. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto thee, me, gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may hear, learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, under the midst of heaven with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Verse 35. Unto thee it was showed, thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there's none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon the earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. Let's look briefly at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? We have read out of heaven, He made thee hear His voice. But it's as on earth. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, and in Mark 1, and in Luke 3, we get very similar. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This was what John Baptist heard. And a few chapters later, in another gospel perhaps, he says, art thou he that is to come, or look we for another? Here's a revelation, a voice from heaven. That's why you and I know in my own soul, I want to know a voice from heaven. It'll always be according to the Word, and it generally will be the Word itself. But John hears this, and it's recorded in three Gospels. Let's turn to John chapter 12. This too we have had before us. We'll start with verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So we've had a voice for Hagar, a voice for Abraham, a voice for John Baptist. Here is a voice for the people. What a tremendous thing to have a voice from heaven. Yet in our midst once walked a man whose very words set forth such riches, such truth. Marvelous. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Here we get the Mount of Transfiguration. We're all familiar with it. Verse 34 says, "While he spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone." It doesn't directly say it's a voice out of heaven, but it's a voice out of the Shekinah glory, out of that cloud of glory. There were Peter, James, and John, three witnesses of that glory. If we turn to 2 Peter 1 and verse 18, Peter says, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty when we heard a voice out of heaven." Marvelous to be jealous to hear what our God is saying from heaven. We turn to John chapter 19. Well, first I'd like to look at Mark 15. Mark 15 and verse 34, we get a voice from earth, from the man suspended between earth and heaven. And in verse 33 it says, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What did he say to your soul when you were saved? One of the things He says to every believer, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Marvelous. But here's this man, forsaken. A voice to God. John 19 and verse 30. We get His voice again. We don't get the forsaking in John's Gospel. That Lamb of God accomplished His death at Jerusalem. But the voice we hear in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Oh, what a voice that is to my heart and your heart as one who was lost in sins. The atoning work is done. The burnt offering, everything going up to the glory of God, it is finished. In Luke 23, He says another thing. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Marvelous. We could go to Psalm 22. We could go to Hebrews 12. There we read in verse 2, a very well known verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an answer. There's a man in the glory now. Proverbs tells us a wise son maketh a glad father. Isn't that marvelous? What a son this was. No equal. Pure object for your heart. In Acts chapter 9, we're all familiar with this very important story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We've had in the first few voices, voice from heaven. In hours of crisis, we have in John Baptist voice from heaven when he must stand as a witness against the sins of God's people and calls them to repentance. Here, in verse 3, as Saul was journeying near Damascus, verse 4, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, the light from heaven was so great. But this man, Saul, saw the Lord. or heard the voice. What a crisis. He was bent on doing ill to the church. And here he finds out that the church and Christ are one. It's so important that you and I hear his voice. You could go to chapter 22. You could go to chapter 26 and hear this story reiterated. But Saul hears from a man in the glory. What we had at first was not a man in glory. The Lord speaking to Abraham, to Hagar, and so forth. But now, you and I have a man in the glory. And that man is the one that is meant to occupy your heart and mind, to give a voice from heaven to each soul. Is there a crisis that may arise in your life? Are you going to say, I need a word from God for this situation? How wonderful. Our time is gone. You have a wonderful future. Each one of us that have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have done so, haven't you? Will it take a crisis to bring you to where you listen to a voice from the one who's risen from the dead and ascended on high?